Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and fastest growing segment of society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, military, economic, media, and academic institutions are corrupt, that most are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our mission, therefore, is to know who is working against our interests, to understand why and how they are doing so, because exposing and condemning such schemes isn't hateful, even when they're political, even when they're patriotic, even when they're religious. It isn't inappropriate. It's the most caring thing we can do. In our concluding hour today, we're going to speak about what this day represents. Actually, it starts this evening at sundown, so it is tomorrow that is actually the celebration of Shavua. But this evening at sundown begins our celebration of Shavua, and we will discuss that in our concluding hour today and our concluding hour tomorrow as well. I do want to return to the story of Bergdahl's disappearance. The United States negotiating with the Taliban for his release, along with all of the other issues surrounding this particular event, because it is a watershed moment. No matter where you are on the fence, it is a watershed moment. Now, yesterday, we considered so many odd situations. One is the United States saying that they'll never negotiate with terrorists, and yet not only did they negotiate with the Taliban, what we'll find out here is that this was part of an ongoing attempt to negotiate with the Taliban. In fact, it was the Obama-Clinton doctrine to get the Taliban simply to renounce international terrorism, which they were never a sponsor of, and to renounce ties to Al-Qaeda, which were never meaningful to them, and that under that basis, that we would just leave Afghanistan and declare peace with honor. And so we're doing a whole lot more than just attempting to negotiate a hostage exchange. Now, also, there's been a lot of comments about Bergdahl leaving at a time of war. Well, this is not a time of war. The United States did not declare war on the Taliban. The United States did not declare war on Afghanistan. So we are not at a time of war. Now, if you want to say that he shouldn't have left during a time of a policing action, if he said we shouldn't have been acting at a time of an invasion for political purposes, if you want to say he shouldn't have abandoned his post at a time of conflict, you have that. But when we start applying the term war to this as if the nation is at war, then we're using the wrong term. The nation has not declared war against the Taliban. The nation hasn't declared war against Afghanistan. The other aspect of this, he was called a prisoner of war. No, he wasn't. He was a hostage. He was not a prisoner of war. He was not in a prisoner of war camp. There is no proceedings here of the Geneva Convention. And we don't even refer to the detainees at Guantanamo Bay as prisoners of war. We refer to them as detainees. We're not holding them under international law. We're not holding them under the Geneva Convention. It's just we're not even holding them in America. And so there are so many muddy issues because the nation and its politicians, its media, its military, its judicial system are unwilling to deal with the obvious. They want to universally deny the obvious, that there can be no war against terrorism, that the United States is not engaged in a war against terrorism, that the whole concept of a war against terrorism is wholly and completely asinine. You cannot declare war against a tactic. You have to declare a war against a nation or an ideology. You can declare a war against communism and then try to identify those who are adherents to communism. Wouldn't be smart. I mean, it wouldn't recommend doing it. You can declare war against a country and say, you know, we don't like Switzerland. We're going to declare war against Switzerland. You can do that. It wouldn't be smart, but you can do that. You can declare war against a religion. You can say that it is Islam that is responsible for 9/11. And you can say that the United States is going to go to war against Islam because Islam attacked American citizens. That would be very much like the United States declaring war on Japan when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Islam was responsible solely and completely, without any intermediary, without any corruption, of perpetrating 9/11. It is the sole motivation for 9/11, the religion of Islam, as it was lived by Muhammad, as it is declared in the Quran, as it is comprised in the example of Muhammad called Sunnah. And so the nation could have declared war on Islam. Now, there's 1.5 billion Muslims. That's a tough thing to do. But you can't declare war on terrorism. And then to muddy the water and say, well, we'll declare war on Al-Qaeda. Well, Al-Qaeda was meaningless back then, and it is wholly meaningless now. They're one of many thousands of Islamic religious organizations that engage in terrorism. Well, Islamic religious organizations have engaged in terrorism for 1,400 years. There's nothing unique about Al-Qaeda. And Al-Qaeda was not the principal party responsible for conceiving the plan that is 9/11. It was conceived in Hamburg, excuse me, not in, it was conceived in the Philippines by Ramzi Youssef, who was not a member of Al-Qaeda. And furthermore, it wasn't even launched from Afghanistan. The President of the United States, in a speech talking about how, yeah, we're going to keep American troops in Afghanistan for another 2 years past the end of this year, which gets them to the end of his term, which is all he was looking for. He doesn't want to be tagged with the defeat. So it doesn't matter that how much more money it costs or how many more lives are lost, so long as he's not tagged with the defeat, he's okay with that. And he said that by staying there another 2 years, that no one will ever be able to launch another attack against America from Afghanistan. But the attack wasn't launched from Afghanistan. The attackers came from Saudi Arabia. And prior to being in Saudi Arabia, most of the attackers were living in the Hamburg, Germany area and were attending a mosque in Hamburg, Germany. They were not launched. That attack was not launched from Afghanistan. Moreover, Al-Qaeda has ceased to exist in Afghanistan. If we invaded Afghanistan, excuse me, to attack Al-Qaeda there, then you got a real problem with that, because guess what? They're no longer there. Even the leadership of the Taliban doesn't exist in Afghanistan anymore. They've long since moved into Pakistan. And the very few people that are even part of Al-Qaeda anymore, they have maybe a handful of people, only one that matters. And, you know, he's, for a long time, been in Pakistan. You aren't going to accomplish anything in Afghanistan with them in Pakistan, particularly since we're sending billions of dollars a year in military support to the Pakistani government. So just the basic framework for all of this is asinine. It shows how completely ignorant, immoral, irrational the government is. Now, those things being the case, one of the challenges of Afghanistan, and there were many, and let's talk about what caused Bergdahl to come to say that that it was a fool's folly to the American involvement in Afghanistan, that it, that America's behavior in Afghanistan was deplorable, and that there was no justification for the mission. And that's where he came when he decided to go AWOL. The reality is that in Afghanistan, it was impossible for the Americans who were sent into that country, to invade that country, to distinguish between a good person and a bad person. Impossible. No one was wearing a uniform. The Taliban doesn't have a uniform. There's no way to distinguish somebody who is Al-Qaeda versus somebody who is not Al-Qaeda. There's no way to distinguish between an Al-Qaeda associate and a Taliban associate, or either from the general population. So you have no idea whatsoever if the people you're running into are friend or foe. None. So how do you prevail in that kind of circumstance? Moreover, the very population of Afghanistan doesn't want you there. The vast majority of Afghanis didn't want Americans there. You know, America had already promoted a civil war that left millions of Afghanis dead. You know, back during Carter's administration, we prompted a proxy war where we provided the very weapons that the Taliban used to disable the Soviet-backed government. And so many, many millions of Afghanis that died in that conflict, that was the last thing the Afghanis wanted, is for us to intervene. The Soviet-backed government was better than the Taliban government that we replaced it with. And we're responsible for the Taliban government. This notion that we're now going to go to war against them is insane. But nonetheless, we did. We were not received well. And the general population was opposed to us. So what are you going to do now? And then America says, oh, we're going to take the same strategy we took in Vietnam, knowing that after 10 years, 10, 11 years, 12 years, that Americans are going to grow tired of an unresolvable conflict with the ever-increasing death toll and want our sons and daughters to come back home. Oh, we're going to turn the fight over to the Afghanis. And we'll talk about how that went as well. Returning to the mess that is Afghanistan, and this whole Bergdahl release brings out so many questions as to what are we doing trying to negotiate with the Taliban if we claim that we're at war with them? What is it that we expect if the Clinton policy, which has been announced today, which was, it's called Afghanistan Good Enough, that the policy is that we would accept as sufficient for us to withdraw and declare victory a promise from the Taliban that they would not engage in international terrorism and that they would renounce links to Al-Qaeda. Why in the world did we send so many young men in there to die? The Taliban had not been engaged in international terrorism. Unless you look at Afghanistan as not part of the Taliban's domain, but we brought the Taliban into Afghanistan, so you can't count that. The Taliban was not interested in international terrorism. Pakistan decided to attack India through terrorist acts, it always used different terrorist organizations than the Taliban. So the Taliban is not an international terrorist organization. So what is the purpose of having them renounce what they have never been? And then you have to deal with ties to Al-Qaeda. We were the ones, the United States, created the bond between Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, and that was because we used, when we rented the Taliban from Pakistan to fight the proxy war in Afghanistan against the Soviet Union, we came across Osama bin Laden. He had some skills, and we decided to include him in the rental of the Taliban. Particularly because of his recruiting skills and database management of potential jihadists. So, what's the purpose of renouncing Al-Qaeda? I mean, There is only one member of Al-Qaeda. And so, and there never was any suggestion that Omar, the head of the Taliban, has an affinity for Anwar al-Zawahiri. It makes the whole purpose of us going into Afghanistan seem like an absolute complete waste of time. You notice that in the president's doctrine, Afghanistan good enough, where he just continues to whittle down what would be acceptable to withdraw from Afghanistan, that fair treatment of women didn't hit the agenda. Education for women. That wasn't one of the things that they were looking for the Taliban to agree to. Freedom of religion. No, that wasn't one of the things they were looking for. Free elections. No. Simply a renouncement of international terrorism, which they've never been part of, and a distancing from Al-Qaeda, which is essentially non-existent. Pretty amazing that we would get to this point. Well, if you look at Afghanistan, there was no reason for invading. None. 9/11 was not conceived in Afghanistan. It was not sourced in Afghanistan. No Afghanis participated in 9/11. There was no justification whatsoever for going into Afghanistan following 9/11. The reason that we went, by the way, had all to do with crude politics. Both the Clinton administration and the Bush administration had been negotiating with the Taliban for the rights to build a pipeline across western Afghanistan for the purpose of bringing the Caspian gas and oil, particularly gas reserves, from the Caspian Sea to a free water port through western Afghanistan and then through Pakistan. And both administrations worked out deals that were acceptable to the Taliban that was running Afghanistan, put in place there by the United States. And then in both cases, the United States tightened the screws and wanted a better deal from the Taliban. And when the Taliban didn't capitulate, it was the Bush administration that says, you know, we either give you a carpet of gold or a river of blood. And you know, our invasion had nothing to do with 9/11. It was used just as a pretext, as a ruse, to be able to have Americans invade that country, risking their lives so that America could build the road system and then the pipeline system through western Afghanistan. It's the first thing we did when we invaded, except we couldn't get it done. And so it was all for naught. Not only was there absolutely no moral justification for invading Afghanistan, not only were the justifications crude in the sense of oil and gas, the reality is that the invasion of Afghanistan made a bad situation worse. Anyway, first of all, it pushed the most fundamentalist members of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban out of Afghanistan into Pakistan. Now, that's really bad because Pakistan, unlike Afghanistan, has nuclear weapons. And if you gain control of Pakistan, you have a nuclear arsenal, which is a lot more deadly than an AK-47 last time I checked. Now, beyond that, the biggest problem with Afghanistan prior to the involvement of the Taliban was heroin. The poppy production, they produced, I think the numbers are stunningly high. It's about 90% of the heroin for Europe and about 70% of the heroin for the rest of the world. And the Taliban just stopped it. None. Well, when the United States invaded, the poppy production went right back up through the roof and they're back to their normalized position as a source of a really deadly drug, heroin. Now, the other issue was that, yeah, we saw that girls were not educated. Well, that's true in almost all Islamic countries. That girls were occasionally stoned because they were raped by men. Yeah, that's true in most every Islamic country. But after the American invasion, the violence against women has actually escalated. It hasn't decreased, and has escalated substantially. So there's nothing that has been gained in terms of women. They have actually lost. And just as it was the case with Vietnam, since it is impossible for America to afford to stay there forever, it was known in Vietnam the moment we left that the Vietnamese would take control of the South. And that when they did, those South Vietnamese that aided and abetted Americans, they would be dead. Either that or tortured or imprisoned or worse. And the same thing is going to be true in Afghanistan. And we knew it the moment we invaded. If we didn't know, we should have known. So those girls that have gone to school, yeah, they're going to be killed. So it's a, we didn't accomplish anything there. And then if you look at the Afghanization, if you will, of taking the defense of Afghanistan to the Afghanis themselves. Well, for the last 4 or 5 years, most American and foreign deaths at the hands of Afghanis have come from the Afghanis that we have paid, we have uniformed, and we have equipped in their army. So rather than carrying on the American cause after we leave, their cause seems more and more to kill Americans, to kill foreigners. Moreover, and the reason so many Americans are coming back from Afghanistan with mental disorders and are committing suicide is because that in Afghanistan, when Americans are now forced to work together with Afghanis, to go on patrols with Afghanis, to train Afghanis, and to share bases with Afghanis, they're repulsed by Afghanis. And it's not because the Afghanis are any different ethnically than any other race. It's not their race. It's their religion. The way they treat women is just so reprehensible that that Americans are saying, why in the world are we sacrificing our lives here for these perverts? And, you know, they watch them. Americans have an affinity for dogs in particular. They torture dogs for giggles. When an Afghani unit goes in to take over a village after the Taliban have been driven out by the Americans from that village, the Afghanis are far worse than the Taliban. They have a game called Bachi Ba where they gang rape little boys. They go door to door and they ask for protection money as if they were the mafia. Now, it's a worse example of what happened in Vietnam. It isn't a solution. We know it's not a solution. We know it's not going to work. And matter of fact, there were a number of internal documents that was released by WikiLeaks that demonstrate that the American government and military knew that Afghanistan was a lost cause more than 5 or 6 years ago. And that there was no way to win, no way to prevail. That's the reason why Afghanistan now, in the negotiations with the Taliban, has reached the point where the Obama administration is willing to capitulate to anything. And, you know, this whole notion that let's say that you achieve what you wanted and that the Bergdahl negotiation for his release, negotiating with the enemy, with the Taliban in this case, was an example of, you know, diminishing the expectations to leave Afghanistan because you know that it's a lost cause. Why would you trust the promises? Let's say that all you're looking for is for them to say, we renounce international terrorism, we renounce Al-Qaeda, and they stay fundamentalist Muslims. They do everything they did once before, and you let them return to power. Why would you trust them? Are you going to trust those who have systematically terrorized civilians? Are you going to trust those who have routinely lied to you? Why would you trust someone who is part of a religion where lying is considered to be an edict of the religion? You know, in Islam, lying is approved. It's not only approved, it's considered a stratagem of war. And it's called the legal lie. And so, why in the world would you even care what they promised? Have you paid any attention to negotiations with other Islamic terrorist groups to see what they have achieved? The whole thing's amazing. So if you were an American and you're witnessing this, you're witnessing what Islam does to a person's morality, and you're watching how the Muslims that you're supposedly helping treat women, how they treat animals, how they treat little boys. And you're watching those that you're arming, knowing that they're as likely to kill you as they are anybody else. And your country has told you that you are somehow protecting America's freedom by doing this immoral act. It's going to play with your mind. You know, if you still have a conscience, if it hasn't been drummed out of you through political correctness in your education or by the military indoctrination, if you still have the capacity to be moral, it's going to be a conflict that's going to be extraordinarily difficult to resolve. You know, and that is why the six soldiers that were killed in searches for Vergdahl were not killed trying to rescue him. They were trying to capture him. And they admitted as such. And that is why the U.S. government made all of those that were part of his company sign non-disclosure agreements. You know, you wouldn't sign a non-disclosure agreement if the government wouldn't ask you to sign it. If the information that you possessed were beneficial for the population to know. If you thought that the truth would serve your interests, you would never ask someone to sign a non-disclosure agreement. The only reason they were asked, these American soldiers who served with Bergdahl were asked to sign non-disclosure agreements because the truth is damaging to American credibility. That's why. Because they weren't trying to rescue him, they're trying to capture him. And that we sacrificed six American lives trying to prove a point that an American can't go AWOL, that you have no freedom in the military, and that whole mindset of there will be a price to pay in the U.S. military if you seek your freedom. If you're a man of conscience and you say, in all good conscience, I cannot continue this mission. The mission is seriously wrong. So if you have a bout of conscience, if you desire your freedom, the U.S. military wants you to know that they will sacrifice lives to hunt you down, to capture you. And that's the reason that those soldiers were asked to sign non-disclosure agreements. The U.S. government, the U.S. military doesn't want you to know that, because once you come to know that there is no way out of the U.S. military, that you can't say my conscience won't allow me to continue to promote a mission that I know is immoral. I wish to have freedom. That if the general population recognized that's the truth about the military, how in the world are they going to recruit? You know, I don't care how many ads you run with all of your fancy weaponry saying that, you know, U.S. Navy, a force for good. You know, be all you can be. Join the Army. I don't care how many ads you run. If the truth gets out, that there is no freedom in the U.S. military, that the whole thing is a crock of lies, that rather than fighting for American freedom, they're giving up their freedom with absolutely no impact whatsoever for American freedom. When the truth is known that you have no free will in the U.S. military, when the truth is known that when you have a bout of conscience, when your conscience is troubled by a sea of lies and by the manipulation of a mission that is counterproductive, and the invasion of Afghanistan is wholly counterproductive. We made a bad situation worse. If you come to realize the truth, there's no way out. That's all this man wanted, was out. The U.S. military sacrificed 6 additional lives to make certain that he couldn't get out. Now, there's more to say about this. The way that that he wrote his parents, we will review those words once again. We will also talk about the way that he was treated in captivity, because it really wasn't much of a captive experience. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Let's reconsider the comments that Bergdahl made. And I, before I read these comments, I want to also share with you that twice the leaders of the U.S. Senate and twice the Obama administration repeated the oh hoorah line of the U.S. military, particularly the U.S. Army and Marines. No man left behind. No man left behind. Well, the fact is that Bergdahl wanted to be left behind. He wanted to leave the U.S. Army. He wanted to be left behind. This gives an entirely new meaning to no man left behind. The U.S. Army didn't want him left behind because he had did not have authorized leave. And so this is the U.S. Army saying, once you sign up, we own you. You're ours. Now, here's the comments again that he wrote to his parents. The future is too good to waste on lies. And life is way too short to care for the damnation of others, as well as to spend it helping fools with their ideas that are wrong. I have seen their ideas, and I am ashamed to even be an American. The horror of the self-righteous arrogance that they thrive in, it's all revolting. I am sorry for everything. The horror that is America is disgusting. What he's talking about is that America tries to demean its enemies. It tries to paint its enemies as worthy of death. So it tries to damn its enemies. You know, we do it in the media all the time. We do it in politics all the time. So he's saying, you know, I'm not buying into this propaganda effort to damn everybody else that we disagree with. I don't want to help fools. He thinks our involvement there, and it's true, is foolish. He says, I don't want to help them with their foolish ideas. Their ideas are wrong. You know, and he's not somebody that's judging this as I am through the evidence and through reason and through research. He was there on the ground, and he was ashamed of what America was doing. And yet America pounds its chest, big patriotic parades, talks about how righteous we are and all this good that we're doing. No, we broke a bad situation, and there's no way to put it back together. It's all revolting. He's right. Hello, Glenn. You've been right a lot recently, too. What do you have to say about this? I shouldn't say recently. That's not really fair. That implies that you weren't right previously. But I only meant it in the positive.
I got you. Such a deal I have for you today, Yana.
You have what for me today?
Yeah, I have such a deal. Such a deal.
Oh, okay. A deal for me. Okay.
Yes. If you will but give me what I want and leave, I promise that I will refrain from eating goat head soup or monkey brain. Now, of course, I never did those things in the first place, but if you will leave, I promise that I will refrain from eating goat soup and monkey brain.
Now, since you brought this up, I'm really glad you did, because I forgot to share the most important part of this whole thing. The United States government is saying, we'll leave if you just simply renounce international terrorism and links to Al-Qaeda, which is, as you say, it's like renouncing doing things that you've never done anyway. The most interesting part of this is the Taliban has expressly said, no, we don't want to negotiate with you. And so why would the Taliban not want to negotiate the removal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan when all they have to do is agree to do something they have never done?
Because, well, partly maybe because they don't trust us.
That may be true. I don't think that's the reason.
Okay. With Taliban, well, maybe having troops, if they wanted to continue to wreak havoc with, there's something about the situation as it is that they like. So
Yeah, absolutely. What happened when America invaded Afghanistan and Iraq? What did it give good Islamic jihadists the opportunity to do?
Kill Americans?
Yeah, to die killing infidels. That's how you earn bonus points with Allah. That's how you increase the number of virgins you get in paradise. That's the only guaranteed way into paradise. If the Americans leave, who on the world are these jihadists going to earn Allah points with? It served their interest to have willing prey there in Afghanistan that they can attack and kill. That's why they want us there. They don't want us to leave. We'll be back in a moment.